Hello again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with chapter number 201 in a 260 program series dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years here since 1946. This is our 50th anniversary week here at the station, and WHKP celebrates its 50th birthday Thursday, October 24th. So, this week I'm going to highlight some of the people who played a major role in involving WHKP in community activities, and today we'll remember Beverly M. Middleton. In 1949, Beverly Mercer Middleton, known to everybody as Bevo, arrived in Hendersonville to become a substantial stockholder and business manager of the station. Immediately prior to this, Bevo had worked with Drayton Hasty to establish a new radio station in Charleston, South Carolina, WUSN. I was always told the Hasties owned Middleton Gardens and the Middletons owned Magnolia Gardens down in Charleston. Bevo's investment in the station would pay for the cost of the construction of WHKP's first studio office building on the banks of the Ocklawaha. While Bevo held the title of business manager, Bob Amos, who was the son-in-law of the majority stockholder Clarence Morgan, was still general manager. Now, Bob's forte was broadcasting. Bevo's was selling. But from day one, there was constant disagreements between the two of them, and I was always caught in the middle trying to keep peace. Bevo had not been here a year until Bob, in anger, resigned his position with WHKP and took a job with Kenyon and Eckhart Advertising Agency in New York, working with the Chevrolet account. Bevo then became general manager. Bevo had spent his life in broadcasting, and though he had an excellent voice, with a touch of the old Charleston accent, he had always been involved in sales. He was sales manager of Colonel Wilder's group of stations in New York and New England. And it was while he was on this job he became associated with Edwin S. Eddie Lowe. Eddie Lowe had invented bingo in 1929, and though his income from bingo royalties made him a very wealthy man, Eddie was always on the lookout for innovations to bingo. And Bevo dreamed up radio. Bingo that could be played on the radio. Paper cards were distributed by the sponsor, the Grand Union stores in the Northeast, in a package that had been put together by Bevo. Eddie and Bevo became fast friends. Well, the kind of buddy. When Eddie came here with his wife, he persuaded our sales manager, John Horton, who's brother of Harry, to leave us and go to work for him as head of a new sports division of his firm, that kind of buddy. Eddie brought his wife down on that trip, and I'll never forget she was wearing one of those new swimsuits that became transparent when wet. When she first climbed out of Bevo's pool, my eyeballs almost popped out, and then, being an absolute preventionalist, I made it a point to never look her way again that afternoon. Bevo went on to become sales manager of CBS on the West Coast, but he never lost his love for the South. And as his uncle Henry Izard Middleton began to fail in health in 1948, it seemed propitious that Bevo and his wife, Evelyn Howell Middleton, moved down to look after Uncle Henry. Bevo was not only a nationally successful broadcaster, but came from the old Charleston aristocracy. His aunt had a place here also, Mrs. Robert E. Lee III. And when President Eisenhower ordered federal marshals into Little Rock, Arkansas, Bevo's Aunt Mary sent Eisenhower a tersely worded telegram. Abe Lincoln got his, you'll get yours. Signed, Mrs. Robert E. Lee III. Bevo's father-in-law was a nationally accepted authority on mathematics and had written several books on the subject. I never read any of them. Eve, his wife, had graduated from one of the prestigious finishing schools in the D.C. area. And once, as Bevo and I sat on the front porch, he called to ask her a question from the porch. Several minutes later, she appeared and haughtily admonished Bevo, saying, Beverly, you know better than to address a lady in her boudoir. When Bevo and Eve arrived at Uncle Henry Middleton's place, Piedmont, they converted the late J.C. Williams into a valet chauffeur, and it was not uncommon to see J.C. driving their 1936 Chevrolet in chauffeur's uniform with Bevo riding in the back seat. Or if Bevo was driving, his mind would be so involved with promotions and projects that on a sunny day he'd be driving down 7th Avenue with the windshield wipers running vigorously. Bevo, having been in the big time and having worked the liquid lunch circuit in New York, that's taking the noon break at the bars on Madison Avenue, he continued to have pleasure in the fruit of the grape. I learned that Eve would dutifully close what she called the caboose, the liquor cabinet, at 9 o'clock. But Bevo would secretly fill small medicine bottles with hooch to provide an eye-opener in the morning. One day, Bevo, on arriving at the station, kept taking deep breaths and fully exhaling. It became so obvious, I had to inquire, "What's happening?" "Ah," he answered. I reached up without looking and pulled down one of those medicine bottles I thought I'd filled for an eye-opener and guzzled the whole thing before I discovered it really was full of nose drops. Even my toes are breathing this morning. Bevo and Eve's marriage failed in 1959, and he left here to work in the Washington, D.C. area. And for months after he left, ladies would say to me, "I do miss Bevo. He always told me how lovely I was." A big book I could write on Beverly Mercer Bevo Middleton, an associate of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, and with a job he's loved all his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.